Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Genesis 11 and reading verses 1 to 9. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. And they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, this morning, as I said, ought to neglect that it's Independence Day. And so it's probably right and appropriate that we think about that. But in terms of what are we celebrating? I mean, are we celebrating that we're Americans? Or are we celebrating the principles for which we stand? Well, certainly we celebrate principles. I mean, that's what people recite, that we believe that all men are created equal, all have inalienable God-given rights, among which are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Nowhere did the founding fathers suggest that simply because we're born in this land or have become naturalized, that somehow that automatically makes us superior than other people. I mean, that was the Nazis' attitude, that they were superior than the other nations. And the responsibility of ruling the world rightly belonged to them. And so-called, they were doing us a favor, taking away everyone's rights and ordering us to do this and to do that. I mean, it is true that as a nation, we did fall into that trap, not as heavily as the Nazis did or other nations in the past. But we did carve out for ourselves this attitude that we have the responsibility to take care of African Americans, that somehow they're less than us, so they couldn't have the same vote. It didn't count the same. I mean, obviously politics was involved in that. They didn't want them all voting down south and voting the way they thought they would vote, and they wanted to minimize that. So they, I think, only counted for 3/5 of a vote. But certainly, looking down on other people, I mean, there was a scar. Looking down at Native Americans, And also seeing that, no, they couldn't really take care of themselves. We have to take care of themselves. And we took the steps that the nation took. We haven't done everything right. We have made mistakes. And so we have to recognize those. But what are we to think on this day in regards to our nation? And that's the reason that I looked at Genesis 11. It's because in Genesis 11, God addresses a problem by dividing the world into nations. God seeks to address a problem by dividing the world so that it had different languages. Because the way that they were starting, as the passage says, who knows where they're going to end up? I mean, if this is the beginning of what they start to do now, I mean, what's going to be down the road? And God decided that he wasn't going to allow it to go down the road. So today, if we look at this passage, we do want to celebrate that we're a nation, free, independent. But on the other hand, we do want to celebrate the fact that there's a world full of nations. We do want a lot of nations in this world. We do want them to be separate. We do want them to stand on their own two feet. Because in God's thinking, it was a restraint upon evil. We don't want to be a nation that rules the world, I hope. I mean, I hope that's the case. We want the very things that we enjoy and the principles that we hold to be applied to the other nations of the world. Yes, we take care of our own, but we want other nations to do the same. Take care of their people. Stand on your own two feet so that you can be an instrument to stop the evil that rises up from our hearts. So that's why I've entitled the sermon, Divided Nations. Not because I want them to be at war with one another, not because, you know, we want them, going tooth and nail at each other, no. But this is the way that God has shown in Genesis 11, that we have to look at the world around us in that way. We have to be careful about trying to all be one, or one nation to take over everyone else. No, it's a dangerous move. It's a dangerous move. And God saw it that way, and he put a stop to it. So the restraining of evil was one of the reasons that God divided the nation. We read that after the flood, the world was populated once again through the family of Noah. And as the population grew, they maintained unity such that there was one people and one language. And one might think, well, that's a good thing. I mean, they got along. They worked with one another. They cooperated with one another. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? I'm sure the United Nations and the European Union and all the institutions we have of nations would envy that. They got along. They could work together. But somehow God didn't think that way. God didn't think, oh, how nice it is. Look at them. They're all getting along together. Oh, look, they got one language. Oh, they seem to be, you know, getting on fine. That's not what he saw. He didn't view it positively, as is evident in terms of the steps that he took. So why does God do that? Well, let us keep in mind that in Genesis 6, God destroyed the world with a flood. Why? Because the thoughts of men were continually evil. The sinful world almost engulfed God's people. It was a terrible time in the sense of the purposes of God with respect to the gospel. The covenant people were all nearly extinct. And though Noah preached, yet they didn't listen. They continued with their opposition. We're going in an evil direction. And we see that by the fact that they built this Tower of Babel, a symbol of man's pride and arrogance. And it seems to me that we haven't stopped that yet. I mean, everyone's trying to get the highest building in the world, right? And they stick these aerials up to make it higher. I mean, for what? For what reason? I mean, that's the way man is. We'll turn anything into a competition. And that's what they did. So they built this tower to remind themselves of what they were able to do and accomplish. It is not a good thing to seek world unity in the sense of everyone think the same. We have a headquarters where rules are given out and decisions are made. And we already see the negative effects of that. The United Nations makes rules and enforces them on other nations. And at times other nations, you know, refuse. So in this light, we celebrate our nation and our eagerness to promote freedom and liberty for peoples across the world. We do not seek to conquer the nations, but we do seek to have a balance. And so we have nations that are very powerful, whether it be China or Russia, whether it be the United States, whether it be other nations, and everyone eyes one another. And they always talk about balance of power in various regions of the world. And in a sense, that's a good thing. We don't want encroachment by a nation or groups of nations. We want to keep that independence. In fact, our own nation, that's the way they thought. There had to be a balance of power. And that's why they had the government organized the way that they did, with the executive and the judiciary and the Congress and Senate. So one person, one group couldn't just dictate how things were going to be. In a sense, that's what God is doing in Genesis. And so these people are divided into nations. And languages are divided. I mean, it's one thing to divide the people in terms of where they live, but if they still speak the same language and they can get along, that's not going to do it by itself. I mean, distance does kind of stop a little bit of that cooperation. But God goes further than that. We read that God divided the languages such that people could not understand each other, so that they couldn't be successful in their wicked pursuits, pooling their sinful hearts. And that's exactly what happened. So that when God divided the languages, they couldn't get along. They couldn't make themselves understood. And so that building project came down and stopped. That tower of human pride was stopped because God did not see it as a good thing. That's the way wicked human hearts are. Left to themselves, that's what they do. They stand opposed to God. I mean, that's what Psalm 2 is about. The nations of the world, the rulers of this world, they didn't want to be under God. They didn't want to acknowledge His anointed. They wanted to cut ties. They wanted nothing to do with Him. They wanted to do whatever they wanted to do. And what is that? lift themselves up to see how great they think they are. So the dividing of the languages in God's thinking hindered, it restrained the influence that the peoples would have on one another. And when we consider the ways in which the so-called global village idea is promoted, we see how the negatives overwhelm the positives. It's a way of controlling people. And we can look at movies and music and internet and literature and TV and the cable, all which bring people closer together, but also give them opportunity to influence everyone into a certain way of thinking. No, we should celebrate different languages because they help to restrain, to slow down the influence of evil. And as I said, there's also division of powers. We might add that not only did God divide the peoples and languages, but he also divided powers with respect to governments. So even within a nation, God ordained leaders so that the people couldn't do whatever they wanted to do. That the governments were given the power of the sword to stop people. Because it's not just the government, by the way. It's not just the government. People can rise up, groups can rise up and create all kinds of problems. And this nation found that out. I mean, all the colonies, well, one colony couldn't deal with the problems in their own colony. So now what? Well, then they realized, well, you know, we have to have an army collectively so that we can put those down if they try and take over. So the way that God has organized society and nations is in a way to restrain wickedness so that we can enjoy life, that we can enjoy those freedoms and those liberties that is granted to us. And knowing the heart of man, he tries to encroach on others, on the others' liberties. And therefore, this is a way of keep restraining that. So the government has the power of the sword, and they can stop people or groups of people doing certain things because that's what they do. That's what they do. I mean, even in families, God has an authority structure. On every level of society, God has an authority structure. Why? To restrain wickedness. Wickedness. All nations need governments to check the evil of individuals as well as groups. And, you know, history shows that. The dangers that arose and the way that they were addressed, that it did come from nations, but it did come from people as well. And so God has done everything well. And as I say, the founding fathers understood the need of government with power, yet it did not trust politicians with that power. Because the whole structure of the United States in terms of politics, based on the fact that man is a fallen being, a wicked being. And without restraints, they would rise up and oppress others. And so there's balances and checks that are put in. Now we know what it's like when there are dictators, and we know and hear about countries like that. What a miserable state those people are in. And so we need to promote that. But it also restrains religious persecution. The division of nations, that is. Having independent nations. I mean, there was already a warning. We read a little bit about that in terms of our call to worship. Before the flood, how the world was fast absorbing God's covenant people, the sons of God, covenant men, saw the daughters of men, unbelievers, and they began marrying them, thereby threatening the covenant people, absorbing them, weakening them. And so God took an appropriate step. I mean, you might think, why would God take that step? I mean, it's, you know, it puts corporal punishment and death penalty to be seen as negligible. I mean, he destroyed the whole world. That's what that's the danger God saw, that it needed to be addressed, and in this forceful way. What would bring us to that decision? To destroy the world. I mean, how difficult and painful it must have been to drop atomic weapons. I mean, what a catastrophic step. Well, that makes God's action makes that look like a caning. The whole world by a flood. Why? Because they were endangering God's covenant purposes, God's redemptive purposes. The people of God were going to be engulfed very quickly. And God steps in to stop that, to preserve them once again. We cannot minimize such a threat from the world. That's what the world tries to do. It tries to engulf us. It tries to make us just like them. So it can weaken our witness. It can weaken the gospel. So they don't have to deal with it. And so God dividing the nations, in a sense, divided our enemies. They have so many other things that they argue about, all kinds of things that they engage in. But while they're doing that, we have the freedom to preach the gospel. We have the freedom to be light and salt of the world. And by the way, if one is tempted to put their trust and hope on a world run by covenant people, think again. Think again. Because that was the world, wasn't it? Before the Tower of Babel. It came from Noah and his family. As they increased in numbers, it was they that came to the Tower of Babel. It's their decline that came to that point. That God divided the nations and divided languages. We have hints of such pride even today as people view religion and attack religion, that it's some sort of crutch that weak people need. But Psalm 3 is a precursor to that. People trying to throw off the shackles of religion. But as I said, we need to be careful that we don't just substitute one set of people with another. No. I mean, if you look at the churches, I mean, what kind of history do the churches have if it's not division after division after division? And why was there division after division after division? Because the churches went in a certain direction, and that power was congregated in a few, and they try to make it go in a certain way. And we have known the pain and the suffering of that as we've had to leave and say, no, we're not going down that way. That's always been the case. And what nation are we going to look to? To Holland? To Holland? I mean, the state church is such a wonderful church. Is that what it is? Or Germany? Or England? That's where people fled to come to this country. Now, people of God, we need to understand power corrupts. Not after that. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And so we do what Christ called us to do. To be light and salt. To have people be free. and not oppress one another. And that is God's remedy by dividing the nations and dividing the languages, so that we can have room to spread the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. We're not force anyone to become a Christian. We're not going to pass a law that says you have to be a Christian. I mean, how nonsensical is that? Some of the colonies had that issue, whether they were going to allow other people to worship in a different way or enforce Christianity. No, power in the hands of sinful people never ends well. So we have to be careful of that. We have to thank God for the fact that He's given us room in this world. He's given us protections in this world, so that even though we are sheep among wolves, He has so ordered the nations so that we can exist in this hostile environment, and that we can preach the gospel and the church can grow. And God is able to add to the church all those that He has ordained to eternal life. Lord Jesus Christ did come. He did live His life. He did give His life a ransom for many. God made room for the covenant people to continue, even though they weren't very faithful either. But God, every step of the way, God was there to bear them up, to defend and protect His redemptive purposes. And it climaxed, of course, in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were all kinds of attacks, political pressures put on Him. But nevertheless, God preserved His redemptive purposes. And the church was born. And what a wonderful event Pentecost was. And surely that brings us back to Genesis. Here it is, Pentecost. And we have in our minds the dividing of the nations and the dividing of languages. And now, what do we have? We have people speaking all the languages of the world. There were people from almost every language, every nation in Jerusalem. And they heard the gospel preached in their own language. So while there was a restraint in dividing the languages, there was the grace of God giving us the ability to communicate to the world in their own language. And we have that today. Missionaries go into all kinds of nations of the world, and they preach, and they bring the gospel. And though there are challenges to that, of course, some countries don't like that and make them jump through hoops to be able to come, but nevertheless, they are able to bring the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So as we celebrate Independence Day, let us not fall into the trap of the other nations of the world that want to be number one. They want power. They want influence. And we see other nations doing that. They spend billions and billions of dollars in other countries. Why? To get their cooperation, so that they can have their hands and fingers into their nations. That is not what we desire. We desire that nations may be free, separate, so that we have the opportunity of bringing the gospel, having the freedom to bring the gospel. But one day, that will happen again, as the Bible says. All the world will be one. There will be one. And who's the opposition but the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? And you remember in Revelation, they rejoice. But once in their life, they rejoice and they send gifts to one another with all of their heart. Why? Because the two witnesses lay dead in the street. symbol of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They lay in the street dead. Talk about dancing on people's graves. But of course, Revelation says they rose to their feet because that was the end. That was the end of the world. And they showed their true colors. And now they had to hear the true justice of God against them. But it's not until the end. It's not until God accomplishes all his purposes through his people. So let us celebrate. Let us be thankful. And let us view the other nations of the world and promote the idea that they should be free so that sin can be restrained and the gospel go forward unhindered. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that you have thought through things beyond our wildest dreams. We would never have thought about those things. And in fact, we are shocked when we read the things that you did with the flood and at the Tower of Babel. But as we reflect upon them, we see your wisdom. And our Father in heaven, we thank you for that. And we pray that you would indeed bless your church as it's scattered among the nations, that we might have room and freedom to live our life, to be light and salt, to preach so that those that believe in you may indeed be saved. Our Father in heaven, once again, we pray that you would receive our thanks for this nation and, Lord, that you would keep us so that we may not abuse the authority and power that you give us, but rather, our Father, that we would honor you in all that we do. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnals number 478.